We shall now turn to the chapter which we've read together, the Epistle of Paul to the Philippians, chapter 3, and our text for this morning is verse 10. Philippians 3 and verse 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. What does it mean to be a Christian? What is a true Christian? What are God's people really like? Now, for many people, being a Christian is a matter of beliefs, ritual, and commandments. Now, these things are important. It's very important that we believe that Jesus is God, and that we believe that Jesus died on the cross to save us from our sins, and that he rose again the third day, and that he ascended up to heaven. It's important to believe that Jesus is coming again, and he's going to judge the world. So beliefs are important. And also ritual is important. A Christian is somebody who comes to church every Sunday and worships God. A Christian is somebody who is baptized and takes communion. So these things, ritual and church, is important. And commandments are also important. A Christian is a good living person. A person who doesn't swear, doesn't steal, tell lies, is not covetous, is not adulterous, remembers the Sabbath day to keep it holy. So a Christian is a good living person. But you can have all that and not be a true Christian. There's one thing more important than anything else, and that is knowing Christ. Knowing Christ. It's a relationship. It's being in fellowship with God. It's knowing him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Because we're told here in this chapter about the Apostle Paul. Well, first of all, he was Saul of Tarsus. He believed the Bible. And he lived a good life. According to the righteousness which is in the law, he was blameless. He performed all the ritual. He was always in the temple and in the synagogue. But something vital was missing. One day he was converted. And then he became a true Christian. So what I'd like to do this morning is to look at this verse, this very important verse, and to see how it describes the true Christian. But also at the same time to remember that being a Christian is not a static thing. It's something going on and on and on. It's a living personal relationship. It's getting to know more and more of him. But first of all then, what is it to know Christ? That's massively important. It's not just knowing about Christ. For example, you can know quite a lot about the Queen. You can know where she stays in Buckingham Palace or Windsor. You could know her family. You could know her age. You could know what she looks like. But it's quite a different thing to know her. You could know a lot about Boris Johnson, the Prime Minister. You could know something about what he looks like and how he behaves himself and so forth, but it's a very different thing to know him. And so we can know a lot about God without knowing him. We could know a lot about Jesus Christ. We could have, as it were, an abstract knowledge of the Bible. But it's another thing to have a personal knowledge. To know him as our Christ, our Saviour, our God. To know as a friend, an intimate relationship. We think of the Apostle Paul here, how he describes his own life. He talks about what he used to be in the past, the things that he used to glory in. Verse 5, circumcised on the eighth day, the law was observed perfectly, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews. Not some kind of half-caste, as it were, but a real Hebrew, a real Jew, as touching the law, a Pharisee, the strictest sect of the Jews, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, so zealous for the religion, as he saw it, the religion that he was given, touching the righteousness which is in the law, the commandments, blameless. But what things were gain to me? The things I used to boast of, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. The wonder of knowing him and being in a relationship with him. Having this personal experience of him. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and to count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, that which I achieve by my good works and keeping of the commandments, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Sometimes we speak of faith as an empty hand stretched out to God, receiving salvation, receiving Christ. I was reading just this past week in William Gurnall's Christian in Complete Armour, and he speaks of faith as having two hands. One hand with which you take off, as it were, the rags of your own self-righteousness, and another hand with which you put on the beautiful white robe of Christ's righteousness. So, being a Christian is knowing Christ, getting to know him as yours, your friend, your Saviour, having a personal relationship with him. But it's not just a matter of being converted, as it were, and you get to know him maybe 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 50 years ago, or whatever, but it's entering into this living relationship with him and getting to know him more and more and more, being united to Christ, starting a relationship with him and building upon that relationship so that the relationship gets deeper and deeper as time goes on. Can you say today, I know Christ? Do you know him? There was a time in your life when you didn't. But can you say, yes, now I know him. Not just know about him, but but I know him and I have a relationship with him. I have an experience of him. And my desire is to get to know him more and more and more. Well, how can you get to know him more and more? It's by meeting up with him. It's by listening to him. It's by looking at him. It's by prayer. When you come into his company and draw near to his throne. It's by reading his word and hearing what he says to you in his word and meditating upon it, thinking about him, looking as it were into his face and seeing what he is like, considering the person of Christ and the work of Christ, thinking about him as the great prophet, the great priest, the great King, the mediator between God and man, the advocate that we have with the Father, getting to know him more and more through worshipping him, with the people of God, through the sacraments. In these ways, he reveals himself to us. We see him and our relationship with him is built up. And so we are developing in our faith, increasing in our hope, that hope which is as an anchor for the soul, sure and steadfast, and our love for him, of course, abounding more and more. So Paul here says, that I might know him, this is my ambition. This is the longing of my heart. This is the change that took place. At one time, I didn't want to know anything about him. I hated him. I persecuted him. I persecuted all that belonged to him. But now, he's the center. To me, to live is Christ. And to die is gain. Getting to know him more and more and more. So that's the first thing. To know him. And then, secondly, the power of his resurrection. Now, the resurrection of Christ was indeed an amazing thing. We think of Jesus dead, truly dead. Not just dead for a few seconds or a few minutes, but dead for 3 days. We think of him pierced to the very heart. And out of his heart flowed blood and water. John bore testimony to it. He saw it with his own eyes. He was sure about it. Crucified on the cross, pierced with a spear, taken down from the cross, placed in a grave, a great stone rolled up to the mouth of the grave, soldiers placed around that grave to ensure that the body was not taken away. Jesus, dead and buried. The power of his resurrection. Any resurrection is wonderful. And in the Bible we're told about different people who were raised from the dead. The widow of Nain's son and Lazarus. But they rose from the dead to die again. Jesus rose from the dead never to die again. With the power of a resurrection. A glorious, triumphant resurrection. When Jesus died, he died a cursed death. Well, you could say that every death is cursed. The wages of sin is death. And it's because of sin that we die. That's the curse that came upon Adam and all mankind in Adam because of eating the forbidden fruit. But then when you think of Christ, it's doubly so, because he took upon himself all our sins. He took our place. He took our curse. And he was made a curse for us. He had never sinned. Death had no claim upon him. But then when he took our sins upon himself, when he took our place, death had a huge claim upon him. He laid down his life for us. He died a cursed death on the cross. What power was required to raise Christ from the dead? The power of God. God the Father. God the Holy Spirit. Yes, and God the Son. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. So the power of the triune God was exercised. What power it was that created this world? By the word of God. But it took a far greater power to raise Christ from the dead. He who died for our sins. But God raised him. And that almighty power which raised Christ from the dead is the power that you and I need to know in order to die to sin and to continue dying to sin and more mortifying sin in our members and trampling down upon it. Because sin is so addictive. It's so easy to sin. It's so natural to sin. But you and I, we need to die. Die to sin. And we need to be resurrected. Resurrected to a new life. A new heavenly life. A new life which is hid with Christ in God. We need the same power as raised up Christ from the dead for the new birth in our own life, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. The power that raised up Christ from the dead, working in me so that I'm born again, so that I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are made new. That new power. So that I'm dead to sin and I'm alive to God. I'm freed from addiction to sin. I'm enabled to overcome Satan, the roaring lion, the subtle serpent, the great red dragon. We need mighty power in us. And as Christians, mighty power is experienced by us. It's not something we can do to change ourselves and make us new, transform ourselves from being sinners into being saints. We need God, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. And that power which converted us, we need every day. And every day we need to be coming again to God, looking to him, seeking his power, so that we will live the sort of lives we should be living. We can only do it with God's help. The power of his resurrection. Third thing that's mentioned here is the fellowship of his sufferings. Now, fellowship, this word, koinonia in the Greek, it means sharing. The sharing. Sharing in what? Sharing in Christ's sufferings. And in that sense, as we suffer, being aware of Christ with us. In all their affliction, he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. Christ afflicted with us. Every one of us suffer. We suffer in different ways. We live in a cursed world, a world where there's pain and discomfort and troubles and all kinds of things that go wrong. Sickness, difficulties, disabilities, trials, persecutions. But then, the fellowship of Christ's sufferings. I remember reading about Archibald Alexander, one of the great American ministers of the 19th century. When he went to visit somebody who was sick, he would normally read a passage like Isaiah 53 about the sufferings of Christ, or he would read about the crucifixion with them. Why was that? Well, he wanted them to realize that there was somebody who suffered more than they did, and someone who suffered so that they would have healing, and so that they would have heaven. And he wanted them to remember the fellowship of his sufferings, to share with Christ, as it were. The Apostle Paul speaks about him filling up that which is behind in the sufferings of Christ for his body's sake, which is the church. He says that in Colossians 1, verse 24. Filling up that which is behind in the sufferings of Christ. Christ suffered for us. He made atonement for us. And yet he left a little bit of suffering for us. And you and I have a little bit of suffering so that we share with Christ. Christ's sufferings were immense in comparison to ours. Infinite, really. He suffered our hell. But he leaves some suffering for you and me, so that we might have fellowship with him in his sufferings, sharing. And so when we suffer, it's important for us to remember the sufferings of Christ and to think about how he suffered for us. And the Lord Jesus says to us, "You cannot be my disciple unless you deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me." Jesus took up his cross, and his cross was for our atonement. And he gives a little cross to you and me to carry too, so that we will have fellowship with him in his sufferings. And we share together. The Lord gave a bitter, bitter cup to Christ to drink. "If it be possible," he cried in Gethsemane, "let this cup pass from me." And he gives a little cup to you and me to drink so that we can share with him. And Paul says, "That I might know him." I want to know him more and more, and the power of his resurrection. I want to know that power in my life. And the fellowship of his sufferings. I want to have fellowship with Christ in my sufferings. And to know that he's there with me. And to know that I'm sharing with him who was crucified for me. And I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Do you know anything of this fellowship with Christ in his sufferings? Whatever you suffer, going to the cross, seeing Christ suffering for you, and you rejoicing that he has left this little cross for you to bear as you make your way through this world to join him in heaven. And then the next thing that we notice here is being made conformable unto his death. Conformed to the death of Christ. Being dead with Christ. Being dead to this world. Dead to the world, the flesh, and the devil. You are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ your Lord. Something happened when you were converted. You died. You died to the old life. Reckon yourselves dead to the old life. Dead to the old person. Buried to the past. And risen to a new life. Let the death of Christ mold you, shape you, form you. Let the death of Christ be fully realized in your experience. Be as someone who died with Christ. Someone was talking to me recently, and they had been living quite a wild life with drink and drugs and partying. And this fellow had been playing in a band and so on. And then he was converted. And all his friends disappeared. He didn't tell them to go. He's gone after them many times, trying to tell them what God did in his life. But they don't want to know him. Why? Because he's dead. To them, he's dead. And that's the way it should be. We are dead to the past. And we're new men and new women in Christ Jesus, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. What happens when the resurrection of the dead takes place? At that point, you and I, who are Christians, will be perfect. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. No, we haven't reached that yet. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I was apprehended of Christ Jesus. One day we'll be perfect. When? Well, when we die. The souls of believers are at their death made perfect in holiness and do immediately pass into glory. And their bodies being still united to Christ to rest in the grave until the resurrection. So at death the soul is made perfect. But we're not made perfect. Because our body is still subject to corruption, rotting in the grave. But then at the resurrection, then we'll be perfect. Not just in our soul, but in our body as well. Body and soul will be perfect. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Not till then. Not as though I had already attained perfection. We haven't reached that yet, but we're striving towards it. We're longing forward. We're reaching out to this perfection. A huge change took place when we were converted. We died. We were buried. In a sense, we rose to a new life, but yes, a very different life to the life we lived, but we're still not perfect. But we're stretching forward, pressing on toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. If that I may apprehend that for which also I was apprehended of Christ, reaching forward, striving after that perfection. Does that describe yourself then? Can it be said of you? If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, the perfection that is there then. Not as though I had already attained. I haven't reached it yet. Not even Paul had reached it at that point. He's not perfect. None of us are. But I follow after, if that I may grasp hold of that for which Christ grasped hold of me. Brethren, I don't count myself to have reached it yet or apprehended it. But this one thing I do, forgetting what's behind, forgetting the old ways, forgetting the land of Egypt, the flesh pots of Egypt, not going after them anymore, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, as many as are mature, be thus minded. And if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. It's so important, friends, that we know him. Many years ago, James Packer wrote a book, Knowing God. Very important book. It influenced many. And it was stressing this very point. Being a Christian is not simply a matter of beliefs or practices or keeping commandments. It's knowing God. And when you know him, you're not content with what you know. You want to know him more. To know him more and more and more. Does that then describe you? And if it doesn't, you've got to be converted. You've got to be born again. You need this new change, this transformation. You need to die. Die to the old life. Be buried to it. And rise to a new life. Be risen with Christ and be striving toward that resurrection, the perfection of that state, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection, that mighty power of God working in me, that I might be conformed to his death, dead to the past. Dead to the sinful past and striving towards the perfection of the resurrected Christ. And one day we shall be like him. Press on. Let's pray. Gracious and ever blessed God, we thank thee that thou hast said before us in thy word these great teachings, these mighty truths. And we pray, Lord, that we would not be content with a low level of Christianity, but that we would be striving for the very best and yearning for the things that are really heavenly, setting our affections on those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Grant, O Lord, that our desires, our affections, our delight, our very life would be hid with Christ and God. And then when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, we shall be with him. We shall dwell with him forevermore. So bless us each one for giving sin for Jesus' sake. Amen.